Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm here with my guest, Dr. Larry Burke. And today we're interviewing him on the book Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Dr. Burke wrote this book with his co-author, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, and it details a number of precognitive as well as treatment dreams for cancer and other illnesses, and explores a great deal of interesting topics. Dr. Burke is the president of Healing Imager and is a certified energy health practitioner, and he's the author of Let Magic Happen. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Burke.
Yeah, great to be here. I just want to let you know that I had Kat, my co-author, was one of the women from my Breast Cancer Dreams project.
Yeah, would you like to tell the listening audience a little bit about the Breast Cancer Dream Project, how you came up with it and how you researched it, and especially how you didn't get a lot of help from the regular organizations that say that they're trying to help breast cancer patients?
A couple of my close friends had breast cancer dreams before having any symptoms, and mm-hmm. went in and had their imaging studies and sure enough found the cancer. The first one was back in 2004, and she had a vivid dream of being on the operating room table, being operated on by a woman surgeon, and she was so startled by the dream that she got up and went in the next day for a mammogram, and they did the mammogram, and she had fairly dense breasts, and they told her it was normal, and she could leave and come back in 6 months or a year, and she refused to leave. She was adamant that she knew she had breast cancer, and the radiologist said, "Well, we can't feel a lump. There's nothing on a mammogram." And my friend Diane said, "Well, you're going to have to do an ultrasound, and I'm not going to leave till you do." So she was mm-hmm. pretty certain that the dream was correct. So, and the radiologist said, "Well, I wouldn't even know where to do the ultrasound." And she said, "Well, how about right here?" And she pointed to where the dream had said the cancer was, and radiologist mm-hmm. Skeptically put the ultrasound on there and found a small cancer deep in the breast. So radiologist was pretty shocked, needless to say, and asked how she knew it was there, and she said it was in a dream. So that was, I'm sure, a paradigm shift for that particular radiologist.
Yep. There's a lot of information in your book. Several of the cases had difficulty diagnosing with traditional methods. As we both know, mammograms are often much better for detecting cancer than ultrasounds are. And so that's how that story is unusual. So, you know, perhaps the dreams do occur because, not just because there's a cancer there, but also there may be a cancer there that's very tiny that's already spreading, or a cancer there that can't be detected by normal techniques, and the dream is actually needed to get a proper diagnosis in time so the person doesn't succumb to the cancer.
Yeah, I'm starting to look at it as a complementary approach to regular screening techniques. I mean, you can get mammograms, ultrasounds, MRIs, thermograms, the whole spectrum, and they're none of them do the same thing as the next one. And the dreams are just another avenue to get the necessary information. So I think these days women have to figure out exactly how to deal with all the different options.
So how did you go about forming the dream study?
Well, I had my second friend had another scary dream and went in and had the mammogram, and her breasts were relatively fatty, so they found the cancer on the mammogram even though he couldn't feel it. And then I had a third friend who was pretty convinced from the dream that she had cancer and even had some symptoms near her sternum, and the general practitioner who examined her told was just normal breast tissue and didn't even order a mammogram. And then mm-hmm. she wound up dying of metastatic breast cancer a few years later. So that was a cautionary tale. And once I had those three stories, I started doing some literature research to see if anyone else had ever heard of this phenomenon, because frankly, I hadn't at that point. And mm-hmm. I found nothing in the mainstream medical literature, one case report in the nursing literature, and one book that had been written by a woman named Wanda Birch. And those got me started down the path toward thinking about a research project. And then Wanda made a pretty outrageous claim that she had gone to a breast cancer support group and asked the 19 women there how many of them had dreams about their cancer, and half of them said they had. And when I heard that number, I thought, well, there must be hundreds of women out there who've had this, you know, experience. Mm-hmm. Now, or that was just an anomalous group that Wanda happened to get connected up to. So that was when I started thinking about how might we go about, you know, actually doing a study and recruiting people from. When I realized I couldn't get any response whatsoever from breast cancer support groups, I had to really resort to social media and some of the professional groups that are interested in dreams. So that's how we got started.
So how did you go about getting the study together?
I had to go get an IRB approval at the Ryan Research Center, where I've been a previous board president there. They have an IRB for doing formal research. It's mm-hmm. not a medical IRB, so I knew I wasn't going to be able to get informed consent in terms of medical information. So this survey just had to be mainly limited to the dream information, and mm-hmm. and also the criteria for entering the study were that you had to have a known biopsy-proven breast cancer. So that was the only information you had to disclose from a HIPAA point of view. And mm-hmm. then I got referrals from Larry Dossey, from Christiane Northrup, and Lisa Rankin from their Facebook pages. And then the International Association for the Study of Dreams promoted it to their membership. And also dreamscloud.com is the Facebook for dream sharing, and they also promoted it. And found 18 women from around the world who'd had a similar experience, including a couple from England, a couple from Austria, a couple from one from Colombia, and the rest of the United States.
And what were some of the symbolisms that would come up as being representative of cancer in dreams?
Well, in about half of those women, they heard the word cancer or tumor in breast, so it was like all the information was there in a message in the dream. Sometimes the message mm-hmm. was delivered by a guide of some sort, a doctor in a white coat, a deceased relative, or even in my co-author's case, a Franciscan monk dressed in a robe with rope belt and leather sandals and the whole, mm-hmm. whole bit.
And was there other symbols that occurred that might be associated with cancer?
There were some reports of crabs, which is sort of a classical image of cancer, crabs. Things, the main key elements were that women just woke up with a sense of conviction that there was an important message in the dream and they had to do something about it. That was the primary feature. Mm-hmm. The second one was some sort of a sense of menace or threat in the dream, and also that the dream seemed more real than the usual dream.
Right.
And sometimes there was physical contact that a guide or a dream character or even they themselves would touch a place on their breast. And that was also pretty unique, that about half of them were able to localize which breast it was in and what quadrant of the breast. And that's pretty paradigm shifting when you think about that.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, our higher self, or that part of ourself that's not trapped in the third dimension, knows an awful lot about what's going on and what's going to go on, and And I really feel like if it's truly not your death date, and you're not supposed to die of this cancer, then I think that all sorts of ways can be taken to or given to prevent, untimely death. Especially,
yeah,
like I said, when I was reading the stories, so many of the women had cancers that were like very tiny, but yet very, very aggressive,
yeah,
and or difficult to find with normal techniques, or like lung cancer. I interviewed Dr. Is it Helvey?
Helvey, yeah, Carlo Helvey, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Carlo Helvey, many times on Temple of Health, and he has a remarkable story with the lung cancer. And of course, as you know, ovarian and lung cancer, it's very important to get early diagnosis with those two, because it doesn't take that long for it to get, you know, out of bounds and into stage 3 and 4 before there are symptoms.
Yeah, and the other thing that I've noticed, I don't have any hard data on this, but all the women and men in the study who, or in the book, who had the diagnostic dreams, sometimes they also use them for healing, and nobody has died yet except for the one woman whose dream was dismissed. So I have a sense, mm-hmm, that if you're going to dream about your cancer, you're probably also going to be able to use your dreams to heal, and who knows, we may,
right,
find out that people who dream have a better prognosis.
Well, I think too the types of dreams in here indicate, and also that many of them occurred in medical personnel or healers or spiritual people. That it seemed very much like this was just a gift that would allow them to get treatment very early in the disease process, much earlier than if they had not had the dream.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories was about one of my high school classmates who kept having dreams about blood in the toilet, which prompted her to go get a colonoscopy, and she never, mm-hmm, had one before, and found a pea-sized colon cancer that was apparently fairly aggressive. It already spread to some lymph nodes, and she had surgery and chemo 13 years ago, and she's fine. But if she'd have waited till she actually had the blood in the toilet, it might have been a different story.
Yeah, exactly. So I think these are protective. I think these are, there are cancers. I have a cancer clinic here, and I do mastectomies and reconstruction and treat stage 3 and 4 cancer as well. And cancer can occur in a breast. Tiny, tiny cancer. It can spread, and then we never find the cancer in the breast.
Mm,
you know, if it spreads, you biopsy the metastatic disease, and it's breast cancer. But the primary tumor can go away and never be even be able to be detected. So, you know, if
now,
that the dreams might be very important.
Yeah, one of the most puzzling cases that came across during the study was this woman who had a vivid dream like the other ones of a guide showing her like a pearl-like shaped object that was in her breast, and told, mm-hmm, it was cancer. And then she decided not to have the initial biopsy because she was a big believer in energy healing, and she did a lot of Reiki and other things for the next 18 months while they were watching,
mm-hmm,
it. And it got smaller on ultrasound, and it didn't completely go away, so she decided to have them finally take it out. It turned out to be an adenoma when they took it out. But her belief is that it really was malignant and became benign due to all the energy healing. We don't have any proof of that.
I think that that can happen. I really do. I do believe that that can happen. It's just the reversal of what, you know, a benign disease can turn malignant, and then with the correct treatment, and raising the energy in the breast is one way to get rid of a cancer or any organ. If you raise the energy enough in an organ, the cancer will go away. And it's actually lowering of the energy in the organ that causes the cancer, so reversal of that will happen.
And I agree. And apparently there is some evidence in the breast screening literature that there, from Scandinavia, that there are thought to be some cancers that regress with time. And, I think that's pretty interesting. The biggest criticism of the survey that I did was that, well, there was no control group. We don't know how many women out there are having dreams about breast cancer all the time and never take any action on them. How many women with benign breast cancer or breast tumors have dreams about their breasts? So we're just starting a preliminary additional survey of the women who come in for breast biopsies at Duke to see, if we can, how many, first of all, my partner in breast imaging wants to know how many women are actually having dreams of any sort related to their breast, regardless of whether they're benign or malignant. And thus far, we're getting about, I'm glad we're actually getting the surveys in people's hands, but so far we got about maybe 5 to 10% of women are actually having those kind of dreams. So it's not anywhere near what was suggested by the breast cancer support group anecdotal story. But so maybe 5%, maybe 1 out of 20, 1 out of 15. And then again, we don't know which of those are benign or malignant. So if we get enough women having dreams to make it worthwhile to do a real study, we would then look for some funding and see if we can get their medical records and find out what their biopsies show. But then we have to get informed consent. It'd be a much bigger deal than what this anonymous survey right now was. The Duke IRB just exempted it and said, sure, you can do it. There's no medical information being shared. So.
Well, I've been a surgeon for 33 years, and about 30 of them have been doing mastectomies and treatment of breast cancer. And we're a very spiritual practice, so people would share with me, I think, if their primary reason for coming in was that they had a dream. And I can tell you it's not that common. It really isn't. I mean, I've had it.
Have you had any stories like that at all?
People tell me that. I'm sorry?
Have you had any stories like that at all?
I have, but it's not common. I mean, I think, of course, we'd have to ask everybody, you know, officially. But I would think that if somebody was primarily here because they had a dream, they would tell me that. You know,
right.
They would
say, I had
a dream, you know, because we're open to it. I do a lot of dream interviews on the radio show and, you know, obviously with the spiritual practice would probably get that information in the history. I suspect, honestly, from your book that it may not be that common unless it's going to be difficult for the person to get the diagnosis any other way. I think it's almost on a need to know basis. So if the woman is just like not going to go to the doctor because she just doesn't go to doctors, or it's not going to be felt on self-exam, or it's going to be hard, it's an aggressive small tumor that's going to be hard to find, I think that's when there's intervention. I think that's when the dreams are so vivid and the place, you know, the person knows exactly where the cancer is. I think it really is an intervention that is needed. You know, it's necessary.
I think you might be right about that. The one story I forgot to put in the book, which is actually the most outrageous story I've heard from Wanda Burch. Because she was fascinated by the fact that so many people had deceased relatives coming in the dreams
in the
survey, and it makes sense. Well, you know, you could imagine, well, if my grandmother had breast cancer, she comes in my dream and tells me I got breast cancer, I'm going to pay attention. You know, So this one woman apparently had real doctor phobia, and she wouldn't go to the doctor to get a checkup for any reason, and she'd never had a mammogram, and finally, I think she even had some. She has some dreams herself about having a breast cancer, and but ignored them and just wouldn't go and get it checked out. So finally, apparently, the way the story goes, her her grandmother, the ghost of her grandmother, appeared in her waking life on the steps while she was walking down the steps. She tripped and fell down the steps and broke her nose and had to go to the doctors. And she walked in with a badly bruised face. And the doctor took one look at her and he said, "Have you had a mammogram?"
Exactly. Isn't that wonderful?
And she goes, "Well, I got a broken nose. What are you asking me about that?"
Yeah,
he goes,
right.
Well, some old lady came in my dream last night and told me you needed a mammogram. So apparently if the grandmother getting through to her, she got through to the doctor.
She gets through the doctor. That's right. That's very, very true. I think that in the spiritual world that will happen. It definitely will. And there's a lot of information among surgeons where we get, the patient gets a premonition something may go wrong, and the surgeon gets a premonition something may go wrong. And oftentimes, then we reschedule the surgery if it's elective. Do you see?
Right.
And it's perfect. It's fine to do it later on. It's just you don't do it right then. And I've had that happen to me, and the patient, said to me, I just have this really bad feeling about doing surgery today. And I check in and I go, "I do too. Let's cancel it,"
Bernie Siegel was the first person ever talked about that for me. And he wrote the foreword of the book, and he talks about, if someone has a dream about something, he'll cancel the surgery. Yeah.
Right. But the idea is that if somebody is not supposed to die and things aren't right. Oh, there was something in the book later on where the patient might have had a relative with muscular dystrophy. Do you want to tell that story? That was interesting.
There was one with her son had autism and seizures. Is that the one? I'm trying to think.
Well, no, it was the one where the doctor was dressed in red. And it was that there was a history of muscular dystrophy in the family, and there was going to be a abnormal reaction during surgery.
They canceled
the surgery.
That was Bernie, one of Bernie Siegel's stories. Yes.
Right. That was fascinating from a surgical and anesthesia standpoint.
Yes. No, that was one of Bernie's stories. Yes. His book Love, Menace, and Miracles. If you remember back in the 80s. That was the first book I ever read by a physician who was way outside the box, and that book changed my life in many ways.
Yeah, Bernie, Norm, and Larry Dossey wrote the little things on the back of my book, The Naked Truth About Breast Implants. So I've had all three on the Temple of Health radio show, and in fact, I've interviewed all three on my TV show too. So I know them all personally.
Yeah,
they're great leaders. They opened the door for us.
Fearless too is a key element.
Well, when they came out, it was quite taboo to talk about these things. We're kind of the second generation down. That it was a little easier, but can you imagine Norm Shealy as a neurosurgeon coming out with some of the stuff past life stuff and all the books he's written and all the subjects he's just incredible.
And Christiane Northrup is sort of in that generation too. And
really, I've had Christiane on the show.
Work.
Yeah.
And now the new generation has Lisa Rankin is stepping out of the box in a big way here. So.
It was hard in the medical establishment to come up with any of these ideas and not be totally ostracized. So and they all three have stories about how their peers did not accept them. So, but it's better now. And
yeah, it's getting better.
We have them to thank. Right?
And I would love to see dreams come back into medicine and sort of restored to their rightful place. And I think at this point, a very small minority of people are having dreams about their health. But I think potentially, one of the goals of the book is to stimulate at least people to start keeping dream diaries because, the more you do it, the more you practice, the better you get.
That's true. Well, I have had a few prophetic dreams, none really regarding my health, but I had my best friend in college. We went to different medical schools. I went to WashU, and she went to Hahnemann. And she called me up one day, and I said, I had a dream about you last night. Are you going on a ski trip? And she said, yeah, I'm going to go to Colorado. I said, well, I had a dream that you were attacked by a serial killer in Colorado. And so she ended up canceling the trip. And later on, when the profiling stuff came out of the FBI, she told me that the serial killer that they caught that was a stutterer was exactly in the area that she would have been going skiing.
That's so wild.
It's very wild, because at the time, of course, the FBI profiling stuff hadn't been put together yet. But this dream was so real. I mean, it was just so real. The prophetic dreams have very, very different qualities. They're not kind of helter-skelter, you know, different images coming in, kind of confusion. They're very clear. And, of course, this didn't have anything to do with me. I just was an observer.
Right.
But she later on told me that she believes that dream may have saved her life. So.
Well, that's fascinating, because the second friend of mine who had the breast cancer dreams was a physician, and she said that her dream was about a serial killer, the kind of mm-hmm. one where you'd have to get up and check your doors to make sure they're locked in the middle of the night, you know, and,
right,
and then the,
yeah.
the dream after that was about breast cancer, so the two of them together prompted her to go get her mammogram. So,
it's tricky as to
whether the dream... working through the metaphors in the dreams, and there, occasionally there are cases where you get a vivid dream that, and you have to figure out the difference between, is it a metaphor for something not working in your life, or is it a physical problem? And, of course, it could be both.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first time when I heard about that was when I was first presenting on the breast cancer dreams at the International Association for the Study of Dreams, one of the dreamer researchers came up and said, oh, I have a patient who had vivid dreams about having breast cancer in her groin. And so she went and had an ultrasound, a CT, an MRI, nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had this aha moment where she realized, wait a minute, my boyfriend is a cancer astrological sign, and he's behaving malignantly. And so,
right.
so she dumped the boyfriend. And now you wonder, okay, what if she'd ignored that guidance and gotten married to him, and would she have eventually gotten
right.
cancer there? You know?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's very true. Have you heard about the emotional components of breast cancer that I find anywhere are very common in the primary cancer, not so much in secondary? Secondary, when cancer comes back, it's usually electromagnetic causation, but Hammer's work shows that... if you're right-handed and you get a left-sided breast cancer, that's usually somebody who's supposed to protect you that betrays you, like a husband that cheats, an uncle that sexually molests you, or something like that. And a right-sided breast cancer is usually somebody that you nurture or protect, getting in trouble, almost dying, a dog dying, a parent dying that you're nurturing, a husband dying that you're nurturing, or a child almost dying, or a miscarriage. That kind of thing. And so it's very, very common to see that occur. The time frames aren't exact, but, you know, usually within a year to 6 months, although I had one bookkeeper here whose father was a physician who committed suicide when he was 40, and he left five children, five girls, and the mother, and it turned out all six of them developed left-sided breast cancer.
Whoa,
and my bookkeeper developed it like years after. I mean, it was about 25, 30 years after his death. So that made me realize that, you know, it could be longer. It doesn't have to be right away.
And you mentioned Hammer. I can't remember the reference on that.
Hammer is an Austrian doctor, Hammer. Who studied causation with cancer and had a really high cure rate, like 95%. Of course, they put him in prison because he refused to do chemo because he was having such luck
right.
with treating the cause. And basically, in our clinic, we do applied kinesiology to determine the cause of the cancer, And some of the causes, some of the common causes, like I said, emotional, hormonal, of course, in some cancers, geopathic stress. Between 50 and 70% of cancer patients have geopathic stress, usually where they work or where they sleep. It's an underground stream or lower energy.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. And then generational curse, I'll come back to that because I can explain that to you. Infectious, you know, there's a lot of, Hulda Clark pointed out there's a lot of parasite cancers, related cancers. And I had one recently where I had this nodule in the breast, and the only causation we got was parasite. And when I did the ultrasound, it was calcified. So it was a parasite that the body had calcified out, you know, to protect it. There's viral, there's mold biotoxin, aflatoxins can cause cancer. There's a lot of mold in cancer, but one person said mold causes cancer, but that's not really true because radiation could cause cancer. Radiation, you know, at Chernobyl with the thyroid cancer, it lowers the energy. Bacteria can cause cancer, the H. pylori being and then Burkitt's lymphoma is the viral. And mildew is very, very common in prostate cancer and in leukemia. And in fact, I'm pretty sure leukemia is often chemical toxicity and mildew. So that's at least many of the ones that I've seen were that
there
combination.
There are a couple of the stories in the book that resonate a little bit with what you said, and that women who were clearly in the, I think of in terms of acupuncture, since my wife's an acupuncturist and I'm trained at the UCLA course, think of what meridians go through the breath and the stomach goes through the breast, so the issues of the earth element are about nurturing yourself versus nurturing others. And
right,
that
that's a big one. Absolutely.
And it seems like a couple of the women in the book reported really being out of balance in nurturing everyone else and not themselves. So
that's very common.
Be more
that's,
right-sided breast than, or, and the left is about betrayal, is that what you said?
That's right. So that would be more the right-sided. And then, you know, the root canal theory. I've interviewed Hal Huggins on this show, and it's very true. And dental is one I always do, because if you have a root canal on the breast meridian, you lower the energy to the breast. And I don't have to tell you how that happens, because you already are educated in that. But certainly any meridian that's blocked significantly that goes to any organ would increase the risk of cancer. So let me just give you my theory of cancer, and you can do your own research. It's really interesting. I believe cancer is a fourth dimensional intrusion, an energetic intrusion from the fourth dimension into an organ of low energy. So, you know, lymphoma being the lymphatic system, blood being leukemia. It's similar. There are three diseases I found with this causation. They're very different. They're not the same thing. They just have the same mechanism. One's schizophrenia, and one is Morgellons. And I have about 100 Morgellons patients that I cured by putting them on Abilify, because Abilify blocks the energy coming in. Just as it does in schizophrenia. And if you do research, the psychiatric literature has a whole bunch of case reports as well as series that people put on antipsychotic medication have spontaneous remission and regression of cancer, often without other treatment. So if you put cancer patients on Abilify, a lot of times cancer will go away as long as you treat all the other causes. So it's a very interesting idea. Now, I'll give you one more, kind of argument for this thing. Spontaneous remission is a fifth-dimensional energy that starts at the crown and goes through the body. And then within like a minute, I mean literally a minute, somebody has metastatic disease. The energy starts at the head and goes to the feet, and then there's no evidence of metastatic disease. All the cancer is wiped out in a minute. So when I started to research this, I said to myself, you're going to have a theory on causation of cancer that would explain spontaneous remission. So the only thing that really does is a fifth-dimensional energy is kicking a fourth-dimensional energy back into the fourth dimension, and it can do it immediately. You see, nothing else would explain spontaneous remission, except that cancer is a fourth dimensional energy intrusion into the third dimension. And then, as you know, there are generational curses of cancer. There's books written on it. And then the BRCA gene might be related to that. And generational curse is nothing more than a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third. So that would also explain that causation.
Now, what do you think of the whole concept of the naturopathic concept of the toxic threshold? And I've even heard it mentioned that as your toxic threshold gets exceeded, cancer may occur as a part of the body's defense mechanism to overwhelming toxicity. It's sort of a way of walling off the toxins.
Well, absolutely. You know, I take care of a lot of breast implant patients who are toxic from the silicone.
Right.
And one of the chemicals that was used a while ago, it's not used now, but it's platinum. And platinum is, when it starts seeping into the tissues, will cause lipomas. So I have a number of patients with multiple lipomas, usually in their arms and chest wall and like even abdomen, because that's where the chemicals went. And so the body is walling off the platinum with the lipoma. And then, as we know, some lipomas that are long-standing can go on to become liposarcomas. But the body only has a couple of ways of responding to injury, okay?
Right.
One is scar tissue. One is tumor formation. And, you know, the other is, well, there's the third one. Do you remember what it is?
That thing that you just brought up for me was, since I'm a musculoskeletal radiologist, and I, you know, imaged a lot of lipomas and liposarcomas over the years. We're now in the midst of the gadolinium toxicity controversy. I don't know
on
all that, but there's a woman in University of Arizona named Karen Herbst, who's an endocrinologist, and she's like the leading expert on the adipose tissue diseases, which I'd never heard of before. But we're talking about, have you ever heard of Durkheim's disease?
Yes, I have.
And Durkheim's disease is getting all these really aggressive lipomas that occur all over
right.
the body. Big lump
I have some patients with that. I do, yeah.
Well, apparently some of these patients are crossover with gadolinium toxicity, that the gadolinium is a toxin that the body's responding to. And think of the millions of people who have gotten gadolinium over the last 30 years.
Well, what we need to do is determine which of our patients have detoxification defects. You know, MTHFR,
right.
COMT, there's a whole list of them. And
right.
then we have to be more careful in those patients. You know, most of the patients that get ill about 8 years after they have breast implants, silicone breast implants in, because the chemicals start to leak out at 8 to 10 years due to a lipolysis reaction, are the same ones that are going to have problems with things like gadolinium and or any toxic exposure due to medical tests, due to, you know, environmental exposures. They simply, heavy metal exposures, they simply can't get rid of certain chemicals. So they cause problems.
And I was also thinking back to one of my favorite dream stories from the book is about a woman who wasn't guided to deal with her toxicity, but was guided to a specific drug, which I thought was fascinating. She had stage 4 uterine cancer when she was 29. This is about 30 years ago. And she is like got a 5% chance of survival going through the chemotherapy regimen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this dream of a silver spaceship coming down with aliens who get out and whisper in her ear, "You need some interferon."
Isn't that wonderful?
And then they give her the tube of interferon, and then she goes to her doctor and says, "What's interferon? I think I need some." And the doctor was so stunned that she pulled this out of the ether that he immediately got her on some interferon protocol, and sure enough, she got better.
Yeah.
So I wonder if people
are
going to
be getting... Well, the information you're going to get from the dream is going to be probably really, really accurate and really effective. It just will be, because
if people are going to get information about their toxins and their causes of cancer, I think dreams could potentially be useful for that.
I do too. I mean, you could have a dream that you need to move your bed, you know, like sleep in a different bedroom or move your bed to the opposite side of the room.
Right.
And, you know, get away from the geopathic stress. You could have, you know, dreams about, like a lot of, some of my breast cancer patients have high levels of uranium on hair analysis. Well, you can imagine. I mean, it's not really good to have high levels of uranium in your body. You know, it just, it breaks apart a lot of DNA, you know. So, but there's ways to detox uranium. You can actually remove it from the body. So you might have a dream of, especially if you were, you know, more holistic, you might have a dream that you needed to detox a specific thing that was dangerous, like uranium.
Yeah. The one woman, there had a couple of dreams of illnesses that were not cancer related, and this woman had diabetes and metabolic syndrome that went undiagnosed mm-hmm. for about a year, but she started having dreams about all these super sugary foods and her cravings mm-hmm. for the foods. But then she had this one great, we didn't get to put any pictures in the book, but she has this hand sketched this field of corn with little skeleton faces on all the kernels. And that was the high fructose corn syrup. She's
right.
getting warned not to take
not to anymore. Do that. That's yeah, exactly.
I love
that's
that
very,
one.
And it's in all soft drinks, just about all soft drinks.
Yeah.
I think Mist doesn't have it in it, but high fructose corn syrup is very damaging.
Well, I'm also, my other passion is for electromagnetic field research and health. I was on the National Safety Committee for MRI for years,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen reports. I'm going to ask you if you've seen this, but Deborah Davis, who wrote a book called Disconnect about EMF hazards, came and mm-hmm. gave a lecture and showed women carrying their cell phones in their bras and having
that definitely causes cancer. There's no question.
Square cancer right underneath it, like the shape of the
right.
Have you seen that? Wow.
I had a black patient who carried the cell phone over a mole that became malignant. And black people usually do not get malignant melanoma, but this particular mole became malignant, and it was right where he carried the cell phone in the pocket, you know, on the upper thigh.
And then I just remember this other woman from the book who had three dreams, had a dream that where she went to three different houses. And the first house was under construction, the second house was under construction, the third house has blood all over the walls. And she starts seeing skin lesions. And the first lesion, she gets a little paranoid after having a dream, goes and gets a biopsy, it's precancerous. The second lesion, she goes and gets biopsied, and it's precancerous. And then she's waiting for the third, you know, house mm-hmm. to appear. And then she realizes that the scar from the second biopsy doesn't look that good. And goes back in and finally badgers them into re-biopsying it. And she does have a melanoma after all that. So that was her three houses dream. And I thought that was, I mean, obviously skin cancer, people are looking at them all the time. And sometimes they look benign and sometimes they turn out, you know, some people insist on biopsying them anyway, and they turn out to not be benign. So.
Well, I had a hospital administrator come in that had a tiny, tiny little freckle. This is a freckle. I mean, really just a freckle on her leg. And she says to me, "I don't like that." And I said, "Well, let's get it off." And it was a basal cell.
Interesting.
But it looked just like a freckle. As a doctor, you cannot rule out anything based on what it looks like, because it can be microscopic. And if somebody doesn't like it, either just because they don't like it or that they've had a dream that it's not good, my advice is take it off. I mean, why not?
Wow. So it's now, well, I'll be curious after we've had this conversation whether more people start telling you their dreams or not. Sometimes that's all it takes to get the ball rolling.
Yeah. Well, I can get them in touch with you if they do. I will tell you one thing. Recurrent cancer is usually electromagnetic, and the most common is a smart meter, gas, water, or electric. Wi-Fi smart meter. It really is important for everybody out there to find out if you've got a smart meter, and you won't know, you won't just know. You're going to have to check and get away from it if it's near a bedroom.
Yeah.
I had two of my friends, very, healthy eating. It was my astrologer and her husband. Both got anal cancer, and the only cause was the smart meter.
Yeah,
and I've seen other anal cancers just from the smart meter. And all they're doing is sleeping close to a smart meter. And they had no idea they had the smart meter on because they put it on without telling you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I have a friend here who is a crusader in that. And I've been to the state legislature a number of times warning about 5G and everything else. And it just totally falls on deaf ears.
And cell towers are the second, especially when people are in apartments or have Wi-Fi, very strong Wi-Fi from their neighbors because they live, in condensed areas with a cell phone tower on top of the building. What I tell them to do is to get a Faraday cage and just sleep in the Faraday cage. Because then that way everything is...
Have you had anyone do that yet?
Yeah.
And it
works. I mean, Faraday cages do protect. I mean, there's other things you can do, too. There's other companies out there. EarthCalm is one of them, and there's other companies that specialize in protection of the home. But it's very difficult when you're in an apartment or condo because you've got so many neighbors on all sides of you with
sometimes
Wi-Fi.
Sometimes all the smart meters will be on one wall, too. They'll stack them all up on one wall, and if you're next to that wall, you're in trouble.
Recurrent cancer is usually electromagnetic in my experience, when it comes back.
And unfortunately,
we do the emotional stuff. We do the no fault forgiveness worksheet, and we work through all the emotional issues. And that's pretty easy to do. I mean, once people realize that becoming a victim is not a good idea, it's never good to think of yourself as a victim because that is the energy of cancer. So you want to get out of that. And most people, at least the ones that come here, can do that fairly easily. They're more spiritually evolved. They understand the idea of forgiveness. But they don't necessarily know how to get away from all of the electromagnetics because, they don't have the money to move out to the country.
Well, unfortunately, now we're seeing that once 5G starts to roll out, there's going to be not to be totally fear-based, but there's going to be a transmitter on every other telephone pole, and likely in your front yard.
Right. Well, I'm sitting here in my bedroom with a Faraday cage right over me, okay? I sleep in a Faraday cage.
I'm probably going to want to do that at some point, too, because I've got...
You will if there's 5G around. You will.
I've got bad restless legs, and I think that's partly influenced by this sort of thing. So,
Are you on magnesium malic acid?
Yeah, I have. It hasn't helped. It's a real mystery that I've been pursuing for a long time. But the Faraday cage, I'll have to ask you where you get your Faraday cage. So.
I got mine on Amazon. The ones for, I got one for a double bed. It's about $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a canopy that's suspended from the ceiling. And the only thing you don't want to do is you don't want to take your cell phone inside the Faraday cage. that would be bad. Or
be
any
bad.
Other device, iPad or anything. You don't want to have any electronic inside this Faraday cage. That would be counterproductive, to say the least.
Any subjective experience of the difference when you're in it versus when you're not?
I had different reasons for I had mine for protection. I was attacked with frequency weapons because the book. Yeah. So the FBI actually caught the group that was attacking me. So I have mine for different reasons because they to attack you when you're sleeping. Microwave weapons can also be used, and the Faraday cage will protect from that.
Yeah.
But in general, it's not that difficult just to sleep. It's just to sleep like sleeping in a canopy, and unless you're claustrophobic or something like that, it should be fine.
No, that's fine as long as you get results. That's worth doing. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
We're getting to the point now where it's a question of adapting or to all the insults that are coming or dying. So,
Well, I'm sure people are going to come up with things. I interviewed Dr. Kareem. Have you looked at his material
I'm not
in
sure.
Egypt? Yeah, the biogeometry.
Sure. Yeah, I know him. I'm wearing one of his biogeometry rings right now.
There you go. Great. Well, he's come up with some good ideas, and hopefully he will develop additional ideas that will help protect against 5G. I mean, these are the people I'm hoping will step up to the plate, you know.
Yeah. We've got
some real brilliant scientists working on this. And then companies like EarthCom. And, you know, I just think that as the technology gets worse, we're just going to have to come up with better and better solutions. And, you know, unless we can take back the power from the powers that be, which hopefully is happening with what Trump's doing, and, you know, get some sanity back in what we're subjecting ourselves and our children to.
Yeah, I
just read today there are bills in parts of Europe prohibiting Wi-Fi and cell phones around children, you know, schools and children, that they can't have them. So we're starting to see some sanity come back in. Of course, it's always going to be in Europe first, because GMO was taken out of Europe first, you know.
Lady named Daphna Peckover, who was helped to pass the Wi-Fi bill in Israel to get it out of school. And she's been working hard in this country, but she's running up against a lot of...
Well, this country is controlled by the powers that be to a greater degree through the corporations and the government. But
Daphna,
well, some of the government.
Peckover,
anyway.
Peckover. Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
quite an interesting lady. I think she's a lawyer. But wearetheevidence.org is her website.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she would be good to get on the radio show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the 5G is very, very concerning. And, you know, I'm glad to see that some progress is being made, at least in other countries that we can model after. That's a start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy flight, as they say.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you're doing the work you're doing, because it's important.
Yeah, I've had, you know, Jeffrey Smith has been on the show a number of times with GMO, and I've had Hildegard Staninger with the, you know, electronic torture chips and the nanotechnology, and a number of other leaders that come on fairly regularly to talk about the dangers.
Awesome.
But
well,
I think, you know, we're really in a world that is... If you don't educate yourself about these dangers, I think your lifespan is definitely going to be, you know, 20 or 30 years cut off. I mean, I really think that's a given.
I'm hoping once this book comes out in April, it's coming out April 17th, that we'll start collecting more cases of dreams from people and see if we can... at least wake people up to their intuition about getting guidance.
Exactly.
Because it's not only just for cancer; it's for guidance in any aspect of your life, and including dealing with all the different toxins out there.
I can tell you for sure that I am alive today because of my dreams, and you know, I know I have a couple of things: my dreams, and then also if I'm not supposed to go outside, the fire alarm goes off. Very interesting. It'll go off by itself, and then I know not to go outside.
You've got some aggressive guys.
So I've got some great protection, but definitely waking people up to their own intuitive internal warning systems is very important.
Yeah, and I'm also worked with a lot of medical intuitives over the years too, and it's as a diagnostic radiologist, I realize that what we can do with the high tech, it pales in comparison to what someone like Carolyn Mace or from a medical intuition point of view can do. So.
Mm-hmm. Are you still working as a radiologist?
I am. I still go to Duke 2 mornings a week and read a bunch of X-rays, and then this afternoon I'm reading MRI scans from home or teleradiology. So.
Great.
I don't have any wireless in my house. It's all hooked up to wired, but it's ironic to be making a living off of the telemedicine.
Yeah, Yeah, that's true.
And then I also do EFT. I do a couple of days a week at my wife's office doing EFT and dreams and hypnosis.
Great.
So that's kind of a nice balance. So you're doing surgery how much during the week?
3 days a week, mostly removing defective breast implants. There's a lot of mold in the saline and, of course, defective silicone and chemicals coming out of the other, and just helping people recover from that. It's as much medicine as surgery, of course.
They come from all,
yeah,
over the,
all over the world, actually. Nobody else has really figured out how to treat. You know, we have to treat with 3 or 4 months of rotating antifungals, some very nasty fungus. We had one lady, every time anybody hugged her, she had an anaphylactic reaction, and she ended up having penicillamine in her implants. She was allergic to penicillin.
Wow,
so all
true.
Sorts of weird things like that.
Wow.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Yeah. LarryBurkeMD.com is the website, and I'd love to have people. You can watch my censored TED talk on my website. So I got censored for going outside of TED's box talking about dreams and health, even though I did a lot to keep it a conservative presentation. But LarryBurkeMD.com is the website, and would love to hear from people, especially if they've had dreams, and put them in the next book.
Great. Well, it was great having you on, and if you send us a copy of your next book, we'll get you back on for that, too.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Susan. Appreciate it.
Well, this is Dr. Susan Kalb. We've been interviewing Dr. Larry Burke on dreams that can save your life, early warning signs of cancer and other diseases. This is Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.